Just a few of our usual notices this morning. Our service will include our usual selection of songs and prayers and readings, and a message later from Alistair. We don't have coffee this week. I'll come on to that in a moment. The collection is will be taken later on. And just a reminder that the bags that pass round are for the work of the church and the boxes for our sponsor children, our eight children. I'll be introducing the songs, and if you're able to stand, that's great, but don't worry if not. And those are our usual notices. Just a few other things to tell you about. So today we are, as well as hearing Alistair's message later, we're also remembering the work of Tear Fund. And Tear Fund stands for the Evangelical Alliance Relief Fund. And every year we have a hunger lunch, and this year it's this morning. So after the service this morning, we'll be going to Oasis, where there will be soup and a roll. And the idea is that the money that you would normally give for Sunday lunch, you can contribute to Tear Fund. If you can't come to the lunch but would still like to donate, there is a box in the foyer for Tear Fund donations. And we're also going to have a fun quiz over lunch. So not all food. We'll be doing a quiz as well. And for that reason, we won't be having tea and coffee after the service this morning. Just one other notice I've got for you. This is from George. And it's that nominations are invited for new trustees, that's either elders or deacons, to join the SBC church leadership team. They will close on Sunday the 9th of March, by which date nomination papers must be sent to George Hill as secretary, including the signatures of two supporting church members. And then the elections will take place at the quarterly church meeting on Monday the 24th of March. Okay, so some opening words for our worship this morning on this amazing, beautiful Sunday morning from Psalm 113. Hallelujah! You who serve God, praise God. Just to speak his name is praise. Just to remember God is a blessing. Now and tomorrow and always. From east to west, from dawn to dusk, keep lifting all your praises to God. I'm just going to ask Anne if she'd like to come up, as Anne has something that she'd like to share with you all.
Everybody. I'd like to share a letter that I've had from Withenshaw. In September in 2022, I went to Withenshaw and they told me that immune therapy, the trials had finished, and they didn't know when they were going to be started again. Could be 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, whatever. I went home and I prayed to God, he'd open the door for me if he wanted me to have it. And the door was opened. I had it in September, the first lot in September 2022. I then had another infusion in January 2023. And then I had the last one 2 years ago in March 2023. And this is the letter that I had. I couldn't have all the treatments because it attacked my joints. And so they stopped it. But every 3 months I go for a scan and then they tell me. Dear Mrs. Rivers, this letter is a follow-up after your recent clinic appointment on the 13th of February. It was a phone call. I didn't have to go to Withenshaw. At that time, the CT scan performed on the 28th of January was reopened, but looking at the images... It was unopened, sorry. But looking at the images, I felt that the appearance was stable. This has now been confirmed by the formal report, which indicates stable appearances with no measurable pleural disease. There were no new areas of cancer either, so I'm very pleased with this, and we will continue to follow you up with a CT scan. And I just thank you for all of you who have prayed for me. And I just want to give God the glory and the praise. I feel very humble, but thank you for your prayers. Thank you.
Wonderful news. Thank you. Thank you, Anne, for sharing that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are our rescuer and our restorer. We come to you this morning and want to praise and worship you for sending your son Jesus to live and die for every one of us and for loving us just the way we are. We thank you for our sister Anne and for the ways you've been working in her life. We thank you that through your Holy Spirit you're with us now in this place, and we pray that this morning our worship may be acceptable to you. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Later on, Alistair will be preaching about Psalm 8, which is a wonderful psalm about God's creation and the amazing things that he's done. So we're going to sing a couple of songs now which speak of God's greatness in creation and his great love for sending Jesus to us. So the first song is How Great Thou Art, and then All Heaven Declares.
Shout! All that the nation. to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art. My Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Okay, for the next bit, I need two tall people, so maybe Brendan and Dave, if you could come out for me and hold this map of the world up nice and high. Because what I wanted to show you are some of the places where Tear Fund operate, but also where our sponsored children live, because they're very, very similar. And I'm going to need some help, so perhaps Laura and Heidi and Cameron, do you want to try and help us as well? Just try and find some of these countries. Okay, so the first one is our sponsored child, Sidoni, and she lives in a country called Burkina Faso, which is in Africa. So, I'll give you a clue. Here's Africa. Here's Africa. And just a tiny little country here. Just here. Okay. So that's our first one. And the next one is in South America. South America, and it's a country called Peru. Yeah, where Paddington comes from. There you go. So, and this is William, who lives in Peru. And the next one
is Ki, who lives in Indonesia. So,
what team?
Australia. Indonesia, brilliant. And that's where Ki lives. So we're going to pop him. My screen in, Dave.
Next time you want the phone.
Right, next time we're going to go all the way to the other side of the world, into Mexico. And this is where Will I Am lives, in Mexico. Now, Tearfund aren't in Mexico, but there are lots of other countries in the same area. That's it, Mexico. And now we have three children that all live in Ethiopia. And Tearfund are in Ethiopia as well. So we're back to Africa. This side is Ethiopia. So we've got three children. We've got Rahima. I'm going to put her in the water. We've got Akin. And we've got Leah. And you, child, who you write to, don't you? Oh, you're Akin. I'm sorry. So how many have we got? Seven. We've got seven children who we sponsor through Compassion UK. But we've also got another child who we sponsor through Open Doors. We don't know where this child is. We call her Hope. So what we're going to do, we're going to put this in the most dangerous country in the world to be a Christian. And that is North Korea. So this is a test for Laura. Any idea where?
Just above South Korea.
Yeah, very good. There we go. So that's Hope. Okay? And just the last thing we're going to put here is the number of countries on each continent where Tearfund works. So we've got Latin and South America, we've got seven countries. Africa, we've got 27 countries. Europe and Asia, we've got five, that's about there. And then Asia, we've got nine over here. So those are all the countries where Tearfund work and also where we sponsor our loving children. So thank you. Thank you for your help.
Thank you. Thank you. You can stay there all morning.
This will fall down halfway through.
Thank you very much. And we are going to sing again, Jesus Put This Song Into Our Hearts.
Jesus, for the champion.
Sorry, forgive us while we do our Blue Peter job. Have we? Thank you. Okay, we're now going to have our reading this morning, which is Psalm 8, and I'm going to ask Laura to read this for us.
A Psalm of David. Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Thank you.
Amen. And following on from that reading, Heidi wrote a prayer for us this morning based on Psalm 8, which I'm going to read out. So let's pray together. Dear God, you created the sun, moon and stars, plants and trees, animals and creatures in the sea. Thank you, Lord, for creating everything we see, and thank you for creating me. Please help us to protect your world and bring hope and peace to those we love and everyone in need. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Heidi, for sharing that prayer with us. We now have two more songs. First one is Jesus is Lord, Creation's Voice Declares It. And the second hymn is Oh Let the Son of God Enfold You. And during the singing of the second hymn, we would take up our collection. And just a reminder, the bags are for the work of the church and the boxes are for our sponsored children.
Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord.
Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you and praise you that you've given us everything. And we just bring this money to you now and pray that you will take it and bless it and multiply it to do great things in our community and in our world. And we pray for our children that we sponsor, the 8 children. Father, may they know your love and your peace even now, whatever they're doing. In the countries where they live, may they just know your blessing on them. And finally, we pray for our own children who will be leaving us now to go to Sunday school. We pray for them. We thank you. They are so precious to you. And we pray for their teachers that they have a great time together. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Some people just want to stay. Lovely. Praise God for our children. On Tear Fund Sunday, I wanted to share a story with you and was thinking about what story to share and what would be most appropriate. If you follow Tear Fund, you'll probably know about the appeal that they have at the moment following the terrible things that are going on in Congo, in the Democratic Republic of Congo. They've seen many, many decades of violence, millions of people being displaced and put into temporary camps. And over the past couple of months, things are getting worse again, with thousands of people being displaced and killed. So terrible thing that's going on there. And the money we raise today for Tear Fund will go to that appeal. But I actually decided to share something else with you. This week, our televisions and social media have been full of Ukraine, but maybe for the wrong reasons, because we've seen quite upsetting pictures of politicians doing what they think is maybe right to try and, you know, work out what's best for Ukraine. But it's been difficult to watch. And I was thinking, you know, we don't see as much on our television about what's going on in Ukraine and the suffering, and even more so some of the good things that are going on in Ukraine. So I wanted to share a story with you this morning, just to give you a bit of hope. Where at the moment there's so much negativity and stuff going on. So this is a story that's come from Ukraine. So conflict changes many things, and this has certainly been true for the Christian Seminary, so Christian College, that is one of Tear Fund's local partners in Ukraine. Since first thing on the morning 3 years ago, on 24th of February 2022, which marked the beginning of a major escalation in the conflict, the need has become greater. The responsibilities of the seminary's graduating students have become heavier, and the school's role has moved beyond the classroom and into the neighbourhood. Some physical classes have now resumed, and the college, with support from Tier Fund, is continuing to provide church ministers like Daniela, come on to her in a moment, with training that is helping them to be the hands and feet of Jesus as they meet the needs of people facing the fallout of 3 years of conflict. Now, Daniela is a graduate from one of the programs at the college. She's a minister of a church in her own hometown. The town faced shelling early on in the escalation, and Daniela says leaving the country as a refugee at the beginning of the war was a difficult and painful challenge for me. But after a year away, I returned home to continue my ministry. Daniela spoke to Tier Fund about what she does now, how taking part in a course through the college has helped her and the team she works with, and about how Tier Fund grants they received has made a difference to the work they're doing. So these are her words. Through the experiences of living surrounded by conflict, we have come to truly value time. We now understand that life can change in an instant. We don't know what will happen in a day or even the next 5 minutes. This awareness has made us more intentional about sharing Christ with our students, ensuring that every moment is used wisely and purposefully. The focus of our church ministry is outreach, women's ministry and children's ministry. We operate a day centre for young people who have outgrown orphanages and are now students. Their daily struggles are often about basic survival, finding food, securing a job, and learning to take care of themselves. They don't know how to manage daily responsibilities or have relationships. These are real everyday battles they face, and we walk alongside them, equipping them to build a future with hope. Welcome them into being part of a community. During the war, we've also re-evaluated many aspects of our ministry and expanded what we do to including supporting displaced people and low-income families. At the core of everything we do is our mission to share the message of God. We seek to lead young people to Christ, trusting that He alone can transform their hearts and lives. Amen. Let's come to God in prayer now. Father, we come to you with our prayers for others. We pray for our church family, and we bring before you those who may feel broken, either in body, mind, or spirit. And we pray for their restoration and for the peace to help them to deal with what they're going through. We pray especially for Jonathan Sturck this morning as he recovers from major surgery. We pray for George and Kay as George's future care is being worked out. We pray for folk who are waiting for surgery, for appointments, tests and results. Especially we pray for Susie, Chris Yardley, Brian, Daphne, Sue, Marna and Lou. We pray for folk in our church extended family, for Judith's nephew Zach, for George and Kay's grandson John and his partner Holly, for Jill's daughter-in-law Becky. We pray for our community and for the churches who are looking to meet the needs of our community. We pray for people who are hungry, who are lonely, who have to make very difficult choices and who are grieving. And we pray for our world. And this morning we particularly pray for the work of Tear Fund and partner churches who are fighting extreme poverty in nearly 50 countries, often in dangerous circumstances. And a special prayer from Tear Fund this morning. Father, let your mercy minister to those overwhelmed with fear. Let your peace prevail when injustice tears lives apart. Let your hope reign when despair feels all-consuming. And in this time of crisis, when life is full of loss, please comfort and restore those who are afraid and in pain. Amen. Just before Alistair comes and preaches, we're just going to stay seated and sing a prayer. It's called River Wash Over Me. And as you sing these words, just think about God's amazing love for us all and ask his Spirit to prepare your hearts for his message. God, we thank you that you are here with us by your Spirit. We pray for Alistair now as he comes to speak the words you have given him. May your love and peace wash over him now like a river. And like a river, may that flow through him and into this place, touching us all and just flooding us in your love. Amen.
Thank you very much to Ian for leading us in worship. I'm hopeless at drawing. I am to drawing what Mary Berry is to rugby league, if that gives you some sort of idea. But I know that perspective is very important in art. So this is a painting by William Ratcliffe of Hampstead Garden Suburb from 1914. And you can see how perspective works, hopefully just about. So at the foreground, you've got the houses and the trees, which are brightly coloured and quite detailed. But in the background, you've got the buildings and the hills, which are sort of painted in faded shades of blue and purple, and you can't really make out the details. So that's how perspective works when things are viewed from a distance. But of course, perspective is also very important in our own lives as well, isn't it? And sometimes we get things out of perspective. A teenager falls madly in love with an older person. And now every moment of every waking day is consumed by thoughts about that person. Middle-aged person has been a lifelong supporter of their favourite football team. But their mood for the entire weekend is determined by whether that team wins or loses. And they can get either elated or so angry. Whole weekend is completely ruined. Couple is crippled with debt. So they look for a solution from the People's Postcode Lottery. They're seduced by offers of free bets, Bet 365, William Hill, or they just bury their head in the sand. An older person is deeply hurt by just a throwaway comment from a thoughtless friend. And now they are filled with bitterness. It's very easy to get things out of perspective. And sometimes perspective is also affected by how we see ourselves. So if we've got a high opinion of ourselves, we might think the world revolves around us. We like to know everything that's going on. We're far more concerned about rights than responsibilities. If we have a low opinion of ourselves, we think that we don't matter. We're insignificant at school, at church, at work. On our worst days, hopeless, useless, and worthless. Very easy to get things out of perspective. So how do we keep things in perspective? How do we have a right perspective about ourselves? Well, time and time again, the Bible points us to the glory of God revealed in creation and the special place of men and women in creation. And I hope you saw that when we heard Psalm 8, because it comes across really clearly. So first of all, we see the glory of God in creation. And let me remind you of the opening verses. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you have set in place. Now, you may have seen on the news this week, astronomers got really, really excited this week. And there was some big news. Sky watchers are in for a treat this week, last week, of course. Seven planets, Mars, Jupiter, Uranus, Venus, Neptune, Mercury, and Saturn, will all be briefly visible in the evening sky. This phenomenon, known as a planetary parade, is a rare sight. And it will be the last time seven planets can be seen simultaneously so well until 2040. So if you went outside on a clear night, you could have seen Mars and Jupiter and Venus and Mercury and just about Saturn. You could see that with your naked eye. You could see Uranus and Venus through a telescope. And that's just a tiny part of the night sky. And you just think, wow, don't you? And then as we saw last week, our solar system is just a small part of the Milky Way. And you may remember that astronomers estimate there are around 100,000 million stars just in our Milky Way alone. And then you may remember that our Milky Way is just part of the universe. And again, astronomers estimate there are 1 septillion stars in the universe. That's one followed by 24 zeros. And I think Dave reminded us that there's more stars in the sky than grains of sand on the earth, if that helps you get things in perspective. And you just think, wow, don't you? And you think of David, who wrote this psalm, looking up at the night sky at a time when there isn't the light pollution there is today. And you wonder what it must have been like for David just to look up at the sky and see the stars all around him. And, of course, our Bible reading reminds us that it's the Lord who has set the moon and the stars in place. But I wonder if you just noticed that little bit that I've also highlighted there. He thinks about the heavens. Did you see how he describes them? The work of your fingers. Has that ever intrigued you? Can you see what it's saying? Our God is so awesome, so great, so majestic, that he only used his fingers to form the vast array of billions and billions of galaxies. Didn't even use his arms. Just use his fingers. What an awesome God we worship. Psalm 19 puts it like this. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And for those who have eyes to see, creation so clearly says, look at the glory of God. Look at the glory of God. He's revealed himself in creation. It's as if all creation is saying to us, how come there is something rather than nothing? How come there are stars rather than no stars? Here's what Francis Collins said. He was the former head of the Human Genome Project. I cannot see how nature could have created itself. Only a supernatural force that's outside of space and time could have done that. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And it's as if all of creation is crying out to us, how come everything is just so finely tuned? Listen to Stephen Hawking. Hopefully you get the gist of this. He said, if the density of the universe, 1 second after the Big Bang, had been greater by one part in 1,000 billion, the universe would have recollapsed after 10 years. Oh dear. On the other hand, if the density of the universe at that time had been less by the same amount, the universe would have been essentially empty since it was about 10 years old. How was it that the initial density of the universe was chosen so carefully? Maybe there's some reason why the universe should have precisely that critical density. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. If you want to get things in a proper perspective, consider the glory of God. Of course, sadly, many people don't. Sadly, many people will reject his existence, or they'll relegate him to the sidelines. So many people just reject God's existence. You might have seen a number of prominent atheists have published a lot of best-selling books over the last 20 or 25 years or so. Probably the best known is this one by Richard Dawkins, The God Delusion. Dawkins is described, I think, as the nearest thing to a professional atheist since Bertrand Russell. Others include God Is Not Great by the late Christopher Hitchens, an American journalist. Another, The End of Faith, Sam Harris, an American academic. A lot of atheists out there not able to see the glory of God all around them, not able to see how everything points to him. I was quite interested by a little throwaway quote by C.S. Lewis some years ago. He said, atheists express their rage against God, although in their view he does not exist. That's how it is, isn't it? So angry, the atheists all around us. If some people reject his existence, others relegate him to the sidelines, don't they? He's the God of private belief. You know, on a par with healing crystals, or dream catchers, or the you will meet a handsome stranger from the astrology pages of the magazines. God of private belief. make it up as you go along. Sentimental Father Christmas in the sky and all those other things. Or he's the God who is sort of wheeled out for national crises, isn't he? As long as he doesn't upstage the politicians, of course. Just wheel him out. He's the God of personal convenience, hatching, matching, and dispatching. Christenings, marriages, funerals. He's the God who's a divine parachute, only to be called on, of course, when everything's going wrong, or, of course, to be blamed as well. Very quick to blame him. But again, with those who've got eyes to see, for those who've got eyes to see, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hand. And that sort of perspective, if you like, demolishes pride. It helps us see things a lot more clearly. It invites us to get serious with God, doesn't it? He's not to be ignored. He's not to be dismissed as irrelevant. He's not to be relegated to the sidelines. He's not to be used for our own benefit. The majestic, glorious Creator is to be worshipped and praised and loved and adored. And again, you may have noticed the amazing paradox. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. I wonder if you can see the paradox there. God has his enemies, those who reject his existence, those who relegate him to the sidelines, those who dismiss him as irrelevant. But who praises him? Children, infants. That's the paradox. No wonder Jesus talked about humbling yourself like a child, because then your eyes are opened and you begin to see the glory of God in creation. And then there's the special place of men and women in creation. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Can you see the question that's being asked there? I'm looking around me and I see this amazing universe. Remember how many stars there are? One septillion, one followed by 24 zeros. I'm looking around, I can see the universe. So, what's mankind that you're mindful of them? And the answer that's implied, surely, is, well, that can't be anything. That's almost the answer that's expected from that, isn't it? When I look at the heavens, when I look at the moon, when I look at the stars, well, what about us? Surely we are insignificant. We don't matter. Lots of people, of course, have come to that conclusion, haven't they? Feel a real sense of insignificance about who they are. French biochemist called Jacques Monod speaks for many, many people. He said, "Man at last knows he's alone in the unfeeling immensity of the universe." So he looks at the stars, feels alone. Dana Zohar, she's an American philosopher, physicist. She looks at the stars. She says, "The vastness of the universe fills me with fear and a sense of insignificance." Blaise Pascal, 17th century philosopher and mathematician. A bit long-winded here. "When I consider the short duration of my life, swallowed up in an eternity before and after, the little space I fill, engulfed in the infinite immensity of space, whereof I know nothing, and which knows nothing of me, I am terrified. The eternal silence of these infinite spaces frightens me." And again, you can see the gist of what they're saying. Many, many people feel completely insignificant when they look at the world around them, the universe around them. If some people feel insignificant about who they are, others feel confused about who they are. And I'm not just talking about things like gender identity. I'm talking about this general sense of confusion about who we are. Some of you remember Peter Sellers, the actor. Some years ago, there was an article about Peter Sellers in Time magazine. And Peter Sellers had been appearing on The Muppet Show, as you are. And he was interviewed by Kermit the Frog. And Kermit the Frog began by sort of saying to Peter Sellers, you know, just relax, you know, take it easy, just be yourself. This is what Peter Sellers said. I can't be myself because I don't know who I am. The real me doesn't exist. Now, he might just have been trying to be funny. Maybe that is a dig at Kermit, because in case you didn't know, Kermit isn't real. So maybe that's what it's all about. But actually, there's a real pathos, if you know Peter Sellers' story, there's a real pathos in those words. And I think what was so interesting is that one of his close friends commented about the article in Time magazine, and he said this, "Poor Peter. The real Peter disappeared a long time ago. What he is simply an amalgamation of all the stage and screen characters he's ever played. And now he's frantically trying to unsnarl that mess and find out who he really is." Isn't that so, so sad? But again, he speaks for so many people today. They've no idea who they are. They've no idea what the purpose of life is. They don't know where they are heading. And that sort of mounting sense of despair, I think, about our human condition heightens the impact of what comes next. So we can't get an answer to all our questions just from looking up at the night sky and seeing all the stars. We can't get the answer from a beautiful sunset. We can't get the answer from philosophy or from science. The only way we can get an answer is from a revelation from God. So the question, remember, is, what is mankind that you're mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? It actually receives an astonishing answer. Because the answer tells us that everything is from God. You might remember what the answer is. The answer is you, God. Actually, you've made them a little lower than the angels. You've crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. So God has given human beings a special place in creation. You are crowned with glory and honor. I wonder if you knew that when you walked in this morning. You are crowned with glory and honor. That is how valuable you are to the Lord. Crowned with glory and honor. There was a man who was very, very ill in hospital. And his worship group, the worship group from his church, went in to see him. And they sang him some of his favourite worship songs. And one of the songs they sang was this one. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. And nothing I desire compares with you. It's a lovely worship song. It really says how we feel about our amazing God. But then they changed the words slightly. And they sang it as if the Lord was singing that song over the man in hospital. And the Lord was singing to him, "My child, you are more precious than silver. My child, you are more costly than gold. My child, you are more beautiful than diamonds. And nothing I desire compares with you." We live in a world that devalues people, doesn't it? Maybe because of gender, because of age, because of ethnic origin. We live in a culture where fame and fortune is all important. Everyone wants their 15 minutes of fame. Everyone wants their fortune. So, in that culture of fame and fortune, if you fail your exams, if you lose your job, if your relationship breaks down. If you're poor, if you live on the wrong side of town, nobody's going to think you matter. You're insignificant. What does the Lord say? Actually, he says the opposite. He says, you're crowned with glory and honour. You are loved. You are precious. You are significant. You are valuable. To those who feel hopeless, useless, and worthless, God says you are crowned with glory and honour. And the challenge to us as well, isn't it? For those in society that we think don't matter, actually, God will say to you, well, think again, because they too are crowned with glory and honour, just as you are. And the refrain ends like this: Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, our Lord uses the name Yahweh, a special name revealed to the people of Israel, the God who delivered them, who saved them from Egypt. For us, our significance in the universe is shown by God's revelation in Jesus Christ, who comes and dies on the cross for us. And that really is the message that helps us get things in perspective. And that's the message that helps us surely see how significant and valuable we are. And that's the message also that calls us to worship our awesome God. So the next time you look up at the stars at night, don't forget that's just the work of God's fingers. That's all. That's the awesome God that we worship. The God who loves you more than you can begin to understand, who sends his own dear son to die on a cross for you, and who crowns you with glory and honour. Derek Kidner. He's a well-known Old Testament commentator. He sort of described the psalm like this. I thought it was quite a helpful summary. He said, this psalm, Psalm 8, is an unsurpassed example of what a hymn should be, celebrating as it does the glory and grace of God, rehearsing who he is and what he's done, and relating us and our world to him, all with a masterly economy of words and in a spirit of mingled joy and awe. And of course, it's in that hymn of praise that we get things in perspective, a proper perspective of God and also a proper perspective of us, crowned with glory and honour. So let's pray together. Father, again, in response to all that we've heard this morning, we want to just worship you afresh. You are indeed the awesome God who's created this amazing universe just with his fingers, who loves us more than we can begin to understand, who sends his own dear son to die on a cross for each one of us, and who crowns us with glory and honour. And we are so thankful too, Father, that whatever we may feel about ourselves, whatever the world around us may say about us, if we feel hopeless and worthless and useless, if we feel that we don't matter, if we feel insignificant, thank you that you say to us, you are crowned with glory and honour. You are significant, you are precious, and you are loved. And so, Father, we just praise and worship you, not only for your glory displayed in creation, but also for the special place that we all play too in this world that you've made. And in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So we are going to sing one further song as we close. Again, it's a song that is partly based on these words from Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. The earth is filled with your glory. We will magnify the Lord enthroned in Zion.
Your name.
Let's pray together. So may the awesome God, whose name is majestic in all the earth, who made the heavens with his fingers, who set the moon and stars in place, who made us to rule over the works of his hands, and who crowned with glory and honour, grant us your blessing now and for evermore. Amen.